Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this afternoon, this morning, as we walk in his light, is encompassed in confirmation, the confirmation of four young ladies and men. And also, we want to also touch on the work of our Lord in bringing Vera into his kingdom. This text this morning is from 1 John chapter 1. Please be seated. So Ben, Colton, Elena, and Maddie. About 14 or 15 years ago, each of you came into this world. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, I was there when Elena was born. I remember that very well. But I wasn't here when you were reborn, when you four were baptized, as we just saw with Vera. Vera now has been begotten of water and of the Spirit. And we thank God that he has done this great work. So each of you have grown up in a family. And in your family, you're known by a name that was given to you by your parents. Now, it doesn't matter whether you like your name or not. That's the name that they gave you. You are their son. You are their daughter. And it is their responsibility that they raise you in accord with your baptismal vow. And there's nothing that anyone can do to change your name. Now, after you become adult, maybe you can change your name. But you know, when we receive a name at our birth, it is something that we really have no control over whatsoever. Now, Ben, Colton, Elena, and Maddie, time for your pastor to shock you. And I'm sure I'm going to shock everyone else. And Mom and Dad, hold on. Grandpa and Grandma, hold on. Ben, Colton, Elena, and Maddie, you don't belong to your parents. You don't even belong to your grandparents. Actually, as we've just seen, Vera doesn't really belong to her parents any longer. She is now a child of God, as you four are a child of God. Every person who has been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit belongs to God. You are God's child. It is your Heavenly Father who has created you. It is he who has given you life, both physical and spiritual. Your parents believed this. That's why they brought you to the font. They brought you here to the font to God to be baptized. This is actually what Trent and Kayla has just done this morning. Now, maybe they don't realize it, but that's exactly what they've done. They have brought their daughter and presented her to God. And God cleansed her, washing her anew, giving her a new name. And the name that Vera has now is Christ. She belongs to the Lord. Vera belongs to God, just as Ben and Colton and Elena and Maddie and each and every one of you belong to God. Why did they? Why did your parents bring you here? Why did they bring you to the font? Why do they believe God's promises from his holy word? That in baptism, God washes away all your sin, gives to you freely, by the way, newness of life. He immediately adopts you into his family, into his holy family. And very, very importantly, he gives you a home. When you are adopted into a family, you live in a home. And you four and Vera and all of us now have a heavenly home. It's called heaven. Because we are now part of God's holy family. You see, the very best thing that could ever happen to you four has already happened to you. That also goes for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We'd like to think that there are greater days ahead, But you know the greatest day for each of you happened right there, just as it's just happened for Vera. Adopted into God's family. Thanks be to God. Very soon, Maddie and Elena and Colton and Ben, you will come and present yourself before the altar of your Lord, and you will kneel before him. And you will confess the faith that was given to you right there at the font. Sadly, I won't be here the day that Vera actually kneels at this kneeler and confesses her faith. But that one day will happen, Trent and Kayla, I pray. Let us pray together that Mom and Dad and Grandpa and Grandma and Aunt and Uncle and older brother and younger sister or older sister, as it may be, let's pray that they are listening to us now. You see, they have made the same promise. Everyone who's a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation, they have knelt here and they have promised God that they will remain faithful. The promise wasn't to me. The promise wasn't to anyone else. It was to the Lord. And God will hold you to it. He will hold you to the promise that you are making with him. And God will certainly keep his promise. For we know that, as our Lord tells us, he is always faithful. So Ben, Colton, Elena, and Maddie, is all this too much for you? Absolutely, it's too much for you. It's too much for anyone. You see, God must help us do this. This morning, one of Jesus' apostles, John, tells us from the epistle lesson how God truly does help us when he urges us to walk in his light. You four probably haven't heard this yet, but your pastor has, and I've heard this all too often. People say silly things like this: I feel close to God when I'm fishing. I'm looking to see if anyone's smiling. Or, I feel close to God when I'm working in my garden being a green thumb. I don't see any thumbs up. That's good. Or, I feel close to God when I'm out in the field cutting beans. If that's true, if these three are true, if that's all that we need to be connected to God, then God would just let us find him anywhere. We could go to our favorite happy place, and God would be there. Ben, Colton, Maddie, and Elena, that isn't enough. It isn't enough to find God when you're fishing. It isn't enough when you're working in your garden. And it's not enough when you're cutting beans. He is certainly there, of course. And he has seen in all of these that he has made. God we see in nature, for God is the creator of all things. But he isn't found in the things that he has made. His creation is his fingerprint. It's the evidence that he exists. No, God is found in one place and one place only: his holy word. We know it as Holy Scripture. He caused the Bible to be written. In fact, he even came down to live among us, to deliver you, the most important message of the Bible. And he did it in person. He did it with his own divine lips. Why did Jesus do this? Because the Bible is the only place where you can find out who God is and what he has done for each and every one of us. Jesus put it this way: Father, sanctify them. That means to set them apart, to make them yours through the truth. Your word is truth. Now, we know in this world everyone has their truth, and everyone's truth is really a lie, because there's only one truth. His name is Jesus. I am the way and the truth and the life, Sound familiar, Maddie? As John wrote his epistle this morning, we go back to the very beginning. We go back to the days when Jesus was just doing the very same thing that we hear about in Scripture. He was walking this world and he was teaching from his divine lips. He could remember the day that he was baptized. He could remember seeing Jesus. We're talking about John, the disciple. John could remember the day that Jesus called him his brother, and that he called his brother to be with him also, James. He called them from their father's fishing boat, Zebedee, and they heard his words, "Follow me." Need I say that again? Follow me. Just as Jesus spoke to John and James, he's speaking to all of us. Follow me. John gives his eyewitness account. That's important for us. John is an eyewitness to all that Jesus did. As he says in his letter this morning, "This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared." John is giving an eyewitness account that the disciples and he, John, saw Jesus with his own eyes, with their own eyes. John is confessing, "We touched him. We lived with him. We talked with him. I tasted the bread and the fish when he fed the 5,000. I heard the demons shriek when he threw them out of people. I smelled the perfume as Mary poured that perfume on his feet. I sat right next to him at his supper. I, John, I heard everything that Jesus said when he said, 'This is my body and this is my blood given for you.'" John says that he stood at the feet of his cross. He saw his Lord bloodied and bruised and beaten to the very inch of his life, nailed to a cross. He may have even felt the blood splashing onto him. But John was standing there. He saw his death. John saw his living body 40 days later as he rose into heaven, ascending to be with the Father. Oh yes, without a doubt, as John tells us, the life appeared. You see, we have witnesses to Jesus. People like to say today that Jesus doesn't exist. How do they know? Have they ever seen him? We have men who lived with him. By the way, over 500 people saw Jesus after he had rose from the dead. Not many people know that. You know, according to Jewish custom, there's only two or three. You only need two or three witnesses to establish a fact. Jesus used 500 plus. And you say Jesus isn't God? How do you know? Were you there? Well, John was, and so weren't the other 500 plus. John also writes to us, "We proclaim to you that what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ." Fellowship, that's what's important, Maddie and Elena and Colton and Ben, fellowship. Very soon, you will kneel here and you will confess the faith that was given to you at your baptism. And then you will stand and receive from your Lord his body and his blood, bringing you into full fellowship with him. As Jesus told you yesterday, he now lives in you and you live in him. You now have fellowship with him. So why in the world would you want to walk away from him? Does that make sense? For God to bring you into full fellowship with him, and then you decide to walk away from your Lord of life and walk into death? How does that make sense? You see, the message today is for Ben and for Colton and for Maddie and for Elena and for each and every one of you is that you must stay connected. You must stay connected to Jesus and his body and his blood and his word. For without him, there is no life. There is no life in this world. You foreknow. Even in school today, you're being challenged all the time. There is no God. That's the mantra today. They really don't care about Jesus anymore. The mantra is, there's no God, therefore this world belongs to us, and we have to take care of it. That's not what Scripture tells us. Scripture tells us that the world belongs to God, and He sustains the world. Why should we fear? God's in charge. But the world will tell you that He's not in charge. So therefore, you must remain connected. And as you remain connected, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So Ben, Colton, Maddie, Elena, let's close with this. You don't have to guess. You don't have to guess what Jesus thinks about you. He shouts His love. He shouts His love for you all the time. For on the very pages of the Bible, every time you open and read His word, He's shouting to you, I love you. Stay with me. Stay in me. Each time you remember your baptism, He's shouting at you, I love you. Stay with me. Each time you come to His altar and partake of His body and blood, He's shouting to you, I love you. Stay with me. I'm in you, and you be in me. No one should ever have to guess what you think about Jesus. My prayer for each of you, for all four of you, is that you will shout to the world what Jesus means to you. Remember the book that you received yesterday? Others must know what you believe. Oh yes, they may persecute you. They may even put you to death. But Jesus tells us, remain faithful even to the point of death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Walk in the light. Walk in the light, my dear brother and sister. For he is the light. You have nothing to hide. You have nothing to hide when you live in the light and when you live in the truth. And as you do, know this. Know this, Ben. Know this, Colton. Know this, Elena. Know this, Maddie. Know this, dear friends. The blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. My dear friends, today in the Lutheran Church, we are celebrating the Lord's Supper. We ask that if you're not a member of the Missouri Synod or a member of this congregation, that you please refrain from coming to our altar. For in the Missouri Synod, we practice what is known as closed communion. So please respect our practice, as we will always respect your practices. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.